Well, let's all remain standing for the reading of God's word this morning. And so good to see all of you here today, especially knowing that it's Memorial Day weekend. I actually thought I was just going to be preaching to like Denison and maybe Maria and that's it or someone. But to see all of you here today on Memorial Day weekend, it's just makes it all worth it. I love it. My family is away right now. They're enjoying their time off. I don't know what time off is, but I'll tell you that this word is going to bless us this morning. I want to go to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. And can we just have this word today? Just really pay attention to this word. Today's message is not going to be a mind-blowing, never knew that. But sometimes the word of God is something you need to be reminded of. And that's today's message. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, the Word of God says this. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Notice it says, so that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Come on, give God praise for that one right there. He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, trust and entrust. Father, bless this word, I pray, this Memorial Day weekend, Lord. We've come to your house of worship. Father, thank you, Lord, for Odie and for Maylene, for the worship, Lord, the anointing that you've given them to sing, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word that we're about to approach. We pray with reverence, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning and bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a season. You guys good? You guys ready for a word? Amen. As we get into this word this morning, to trust and entrust. It's a big difference. To trust and entrust. Let me give you the context of what's happening here. But the Bible is showing us that Peter is writing this letter to new believers who have placed their faith in Jesus. And because they've placed their faith in Jesus, maybe they thought that everything was going to go great from now on and life was going to be easy, because there's this temptation to assume that because you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're serving Him, that He has to make your life easy. But these new believers quickly found out that this is so far from the truth. These new believers, as they put their faith in Jesus, were experiencing persecution. They began to be rejected by most of the people. They began to feel isolated. They were mistreated. They were mocked. They were abused. And as a result, many of these new believers were discouraged and even afraid. They quickly found out that serving Jesus was not easy. In fact, it was very difficult. So Peter writes this letter to them in 1 Peter that really is supposed to encourage them. So as Peter writes this letter, encouraging them to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God, Peter will encourage them by reminding them of three things. We have to remember, if any of us are ever serving Jesus, but your life is hard right now, because that's going to happen. Peter reminds them of one truth. Number one, he says, your suffering is for a little while. There's a temptation to assume that your suffering is never going to stop. That the problems that you're going through are forever. Because of the thing that the devil puts in our minds is that what you're going through is always going to be the same and it's never going to change. The two most destructive words, always and never. It's always going to be this way. It's never going to change. So Peter reminds them that this suffering is for a while. And maybe that's all you need to be reminded of today. Remember, this sermon is a reminder. And you need to be reminded that some of the problems that we go through in our lives are just for a while. I remember when I became a new father, and I still don't know what I'm doing, but many of you veterans, as parents, would remind me in these months, in the first 2 months, I didn't know what day it was. I haven't slept. It was crazy. But many of you parents would come up to me and you kept reminding me, this is just temporary. Eventually, they're going to sleep through the night. Eventually, you're going to have more time off. Eventually, it gets better. And you were right. But those first 2 months, I actually thought, I'm never, ever, ever going to sleep. But you guys kept reminding me. So that's what Peter's doing. He's reminding these believers that what you're going through is just for a while. Another thing that Peter said is that many other Christians are suffering what you're suffering around the world. So not only does Peter say that what they're going through is just for a while, but he reminds them that what you're going through, you're not alone in. Another temptation we go through when we suffer is to assume that you're the only one that's going through what you're going through. Especially as a Christian, when a Christian suffers, the devil whispers this lie that you're the only believer in Christ that's suffering this. No one else. Everyone else, their lives are perfect, their lives are easy, and God's blessing them. But look at your life, and you're the only one going through this. But that is so far from the truth. Not only is your suffering temporary, but your suffering is not just exclusive. And that person sitting next to you or around you, even in this church, they may be going through the same exact issue that you're going through. Have you ever gone through a problem only to meet someone that has gone through it? And they'll tell you, hey, I've been there and I've suffered this and I know what that feels like. Because you are not the only one going through what you're going through. But here's where Peter really hits the nail on the head. Not only does he mention that their suffering is just for a little while and what they're going through is not exclusively to them, but Peter says that in due time, the Lord is going to exalt them. He's going to lift them up. But here's the problem. The fact that Peter said that the Lord will exalt you, he'll lift you up, but it says, in due time. In due time. Say that with me. In due time. That's the hard part. Because this verse is all about God's timing. That's what a due time is. And more difficult than trusting God in a trial of suffering is trusting God in His timing while you're in the trial. God's timing, we don't talk about it much, but God's timing and the time in which He does things in our lives may be one of the hardest tests believers will go through. Because all of us in our head, we map out this calendar. And in this spiritual calendar in our minds, there's a certain day and month and year and time where we expect certain milestones to happen in our lives. And God has no problem with us making plans. In fact, the book of James says, hey, you go ahead and make your plans. And you say, today I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that, I'm going to travel here, I'm going to travel there. But the Bible says when you make your plans, make sure you include if it's the Lord's will. And that's the problem we have as believers. We think that the time in which certain things should happen, it should happen when we tell God it has to happen. But the reality is that one of the greatest trials you're ever going to face is the timing of God. And some of you right now are waiting for that due time. You're waiting for God to open up the doors. You're waiting for God to introduce you to your future spouse. You're waiting for God to give you that promotion at work. You're waiting for God. You're waiting for something. You're waiting for change, and you're waiting for a due time. But it's in the waiting where the devil begins to really work. In due time. He reminds them that right now, not only is your suffering temporary, not only are you not the only one going through this, but he reminds them that everything has a due time with God. God is the creator of time. Time is not something that man created. Timing is a God idea. And when God created the world, notice that God created everything with order and with time. And everything came to place in order and in its time. We need to trust in the timing of God. In due time is a very hard test. This phrase, in due time, is actually found also in Galatians 6:9. Let's go there. Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, let us not grow weary, tired, while doing good, for in what? In due season. That word due literally means time in the Greek. In due time, in due season. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. Other translations said that we don't give up. To lose heart means to be so discouraged that you give up. And let's be honest, before the due season, before the due time, and the seasons that we're waiting on God to do something, and while we're waiting for the breakthrough, and we're waiting for the answers prayed, and we're waiting to get healed, and we're waiting for this person to come to faith in Jesus, and we're waiting, that's a season where most of the time when we're waiting on God, we get the most discouraged. It's while we're waiting on God that we have the temptation to just give up. Why is it that so many people in the seasons of waiting, Galatians says, they want to give up? Well, it's simple. Because the Bible says, do not become weary in doing good. You know why it's so hard to wait on God? Because while you're waiting, you're doing good. You're doing the right thing. You're trusting in God. But see, when you're doing all this good and you don't see anything come out of it, you begin to question the timing of God. And because God is taking too long, you begin to tell yourself, maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should just stop trying. And maybe you're so filled with discouragement because you're waiting on God and you're doing the right thing that the devil begins to tell you, hey, just give up. Just give up on everything God's given you in your heart. Give up on your dreams. Give up on your desires. Give up and just do what you want. I remember, many of you remember that I was single for 10 years. That's a long time for a good-looking guy to be single. Amen? I was single for, how many remember single pastor day? Yeah. 10 years waiting, pastoring a church, single. And in those 10 years of waiting, you know what I did the most? Weddings. All my friends were getting married and asking me, would you do the wedding? I'm like, sure. All of them. And you don't think in one of those moments, I would tell God why? You don't think the devil whispered, David, just give up? Just settle? But see, it's hard to do good while you're waiting. But you got to trust God. And today I look at my wife and I look at my daughter and I think to myself, so worth the wait. You see, we forget that while we're waiting for God's due time, we really forget, remember, this is a reminder sermon. We forget that it's just a season. What you're going through right now, God has you in a season. God has you. And you may feel like He's put you aside. You may feel like He's forgotten you. You may feel like He doesn't care. But God's timing is, I promise you, perfect. But we forget that it's just a season. When I take that drive up north to our ranch, and I'm going down Highway 27, you're going to begin to notice all the countryside of Florida. You begin to see all the farms and all the fields and everything. And as I was driving there last night to come back home, I noticed that all these fields were filled with beautiful orange trees, filled with oranges everywhere on the tree, on the floor. It was just booming with oranges. But then I remembered that as I looked at all these oranges out in the field, I remembered that just a few months before yesterday, around the winter time, all of those trees were completely barren. All of those trees had no leaves on them. Not one tree had a single orange. Why? Because it wasn't the season. You guys getting this? It wasn't the season. But see, whoever planted those orange trees knows that just because the tree is barren, just because it has no fruit, just because it looks hopeless and dry, that farmer knows this is just a season. This is just temporary. That farmer continues to do good. He continues to water and till the ground and work. Why? Because he knows that this season is just temporary, but the season of harvest will come. And when the harvest comes, the Bible says those that don't give up experience the harvest. That's why it's so important while you're waiting not to assume that God has forgotten you, and don't give up. It makes no sense. Whenever you see a tree barren, to assume that it's going to be like that forever. You know that it's just a season. So you wait. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this: to everything, everyone say everything, to everything in your life, there is a season, a time for every purpose here on earth under heaven. There is a season for everything. And when I look at you guys, like my family, and I see that a lot of what you've gone through in your past, that was just a season. I look at Barbie and Dennis back there getting married soon. Praise God for that. Come on. And you look like such a nice, handsome man like Dennison and such a wonderful woman like Barbie. And you just say, well, they're still lucky. Look at them. Oh, why them, not me? Listen. You don't know the seasons that this poor man waited for her. You don't know what Barbie has gone through. But everything in their life is just a season. And in a few weeks, they're going to enter into a new season. The same is true for all of us. God says for everything, there is a season. And some of you might be in a dark season right now. But don't ever make a permanent decision based on the temporary season that you're in. Everything goes through, even in marriage, you go through seasons of hardship. It's not always beautiful, flourishing rainbows and unicorns and Skittles. I don't know what that means, but it's not always like that. All my married people say amen, right? All my divorced people say, hey, yo, oh yeah, amen. But believe me when I tell you, every season has a season. You don't make a permanent decision based on the temporary season. What do? You have to trust and entrust. What does that mean? You have to wait on the Lord. You have to wait on the Lord. Look at Psalm 37:7. It says, be still before the Lord. Be still before the Lord. And wait how? No, I think it says angry. I think it says bitter. What does that say? Some say, I am waiting. But how are you waiting? Are you waiting patiently? Or are you waiting with anger, with bitterness, with resentment? You need to learn the principle of being still before the Lord. David said, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. What happens when you're waiting on the Lord patiently? You're going to see other people succeeding. You're going to see other people living your best life. You're going to see other people being blessed. But God says, don't fret. That word fret literally means to rub something together and grind it. And that's how you feel sometimes when you see other people succeeding, but nothing's happened for you yet. But God says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently. What does it mean to be still? A lot of us think, oh, that means just to do nothing. No, listen. The word still there in the Hebrew, it literally means to drop it, to let something go. It's actually a word that defines a battle or a war. It's when two opposing sides just stop fighting. They just let it go. What if God is telling you right now, there are certain things in your life you need to let go and trust me? What if God right now is telling you, you need to stop fighting this? You need to just drop it and relax and let it go and trust God. Can I tell you why I'm so encouraged when I read this verse? Because it was written by King David. And King David was a man that was anointed to be king as a young teenager. Probably about 16, 17 years old, maybe younger. And as David was anointed to be king by Samuel, right after that anointing, you know what happened? Nothing. He went back to shepherding sheep. Nothing in his life changed. Because you can carry the anointing of God in your life, but yet your circumstances remain the same. In fact, David, not only was he not king, but he would have to wait to be king for many years. And as he waited to be king, David would go through hiding in caves, fighting giants, fighting battles with his father-in-law, going through war, going through all of these problems, going through loneliness, depression. He went through years of struggle as he waited on God. But what I love about King David, a lot of us remember, oh, his affair with Bathsheba, whatever. You got to remember the good stuff as well, not just the bad. And King David was a patient man. And all these years, he's waiting to be king. Not once did David try to promote himself to that authority and that position. Not once. In fact, David not only waited on God for him to be king, while he waited, he served Saul. Did you notice, and I never realized this till this week, but not one time in the Bible does David ever tell a single person that Saul was no longer anointed? That God had replaced them with David. But David just trusted in the Lord who is the God that promotes. Some of you are trying to make things happen that only God can make. Some of you are trying to put that foot in the door and trying to for the opportunity. I'm going to do it myself. But God says, no, some of the positions I have for your future are only going to come by me. So stop fighting it. Stop and let it go and trust God to make it happen. So when David even had the opportunity to kill Saul, he did not even lay a finger on him. He trusted God and his timing. Are you getting this morning? Because some of you are waiting on God right now. You're waiting because maybe you're single. You're waiting because there's a desire God has put in your heart, an anointing. Some of you are waiting for direction. You're waiting on God to show you what's next. Some of you are waiting on God to solve a certain problem you're dealing with right now. But while you're waiting on God, you have to learn the principle of being still. You need to drop what you cannot change. Some of you have to drop certain people, meaning, Lord, I can't change them. They're in your hands, and surrender that person over to God. Some of you are trying to make something happen only God can make happen. Be still. The Bible says in Psalm 37, be still and know that I'm God. And if God is God, it means you're not. Let me say that one more time. If God is God, it means you are not. Be still and know that I am God. It means that you need to drop it, let it go, stop fighting, trust me, because I am God. I am in control. I am sovereign. I know what's best for you. I'm all-knowing. I'm all-powerful. I will do it, says the Lord. Drop it. Come on, turn to your neighbor and help me preach this Memorial Day weekend. Just tell him, drop it right now. How many of you felt the Holy Spirit just poke you right now on certain things you got to drop right now? You say, Lord, I got to drop this right now. I got to drop it. Why? Well, look at verse 7 and 8. Look at what God says here through Peter. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your cares. The word care literally means worry. Can we be honest in the house of God today? How many of you are worried about one thing, or at least right now? Look around the room. Look at everyone. Look at all the sinners. Look at them. Look at them. How many know the Bible says not to worry? How many, with the other hand, tell me you're worried right now? You know what this means? You are violating the word of God. You are a rotten, dirty sinner. And I'm done with you guys. I can't. We all worry. Even when God says don't, but I do. God says when you worry, just cast it. Let me tell you that what you worry about the most reveals to God where you trust him least. You worry about money, what does that tell God? I don't trust you as a provider. You worry about your health, what does that tell God? I trust you least when it comes to my health. You worry God, you worry about your future. That means you trust God least with tomorrow. You see, where you worry the most not only will rob you of joy and give strength to the enemy, but it reveals to God, and it should reveal to you where you trust God the least. Why do you worry? Because you don't trust God. Don't say, oh, I worry because I'm human. No. You worry because you and I don't trust God in that area. And notice what David says here, what Peter says, to cast your cares. Let's go to verse 7 and 8 one more time. Verse 7 and 8 says, so cast your worry, cast your care, because he cares for you. Look at verse 8, right after. Be sober. How many know what that means? You're like, I don't know, I'm too wasted. Listen, be sober. Be vigilant. The word sober literally means to think right. Think right. To act right. Come on, where are my old school sinners? When you're not sober, are you thinking right? Are you acting right? Definitely not. When God says be sober, he's literally saying think right. Think. Why? Because when you have worry, it affects your mind. It affects your thoughts. And he says you need to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. You notice that when worry comes, the devil's not far? When you begin to worry about certain areas in your life where you're trusting God the least, the devil shows up and said, yeah, you should worry about that. And that area, the Bible says that that's where the devil begins to show up. Whether the worry is money, health, future, your kids, your marriage, life, anything. Whatever you worry about, not only does it reveal where you trust God the least, whatever you worry about is where the devil grabs a foothold. And the devil is not far when worry is close. He says he shows up like a roaring lion. He doesn't say he shows up like a clawing lion. He says like a roaring lion. Why? Because a roaring lion is scary, but it doesn't do anything. You know why lions roar? To show dominance. And to instill fear in all the animals. That roar has a certain level of decibels that most creatures that are around it get paralyzed with fear. You know the only power the devil wants to dominate you with? Fear. He knows he can't touch you. He knows he can't claw you. But how does he get to a point where he devours you? He's just a talker. Just roars. And if he can roar loud enough, he can paralyze you with worry and fear. You begin to lose faith. You begin to say, where's God? What if? Why? What am I going to do? And he begins to fill your mind with worry. If you have worry this morning, which I'm sure a lot of us do, I want you to understand Proverbs 12:25, what it says. Anxiety, worry, in the heart of a man causes what? Causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. You know, the Bible says that worry, if you worry long enough, you will be depressed. And not just the world and those that don't know Jesus. I'm talking about people in the church. I'm talking about church leaders and pastors. I'm talking about congregants and believers alike. You'll be surprised how many people are in the house of God, even this one, this morning, and are going through depression. And in our country today, just in the U.S., ironically, we're the most blessed country in the world and the most medicated and depressed. So many people are depressed. Even the next generation, the Generation Z, this generation that's coming up next, are the most depressed generation in our history. With an average of 47% of these kids being medicated for depression. Depression is an all-time high, as well as suicide. Even amongst the church, one out of three Christians confess that they're going through depression. And if you're going through depression today, you're not alone. It's hard. But depression, most of the times, and that's clinically, but most depression is an issue with your mind. It's the constant thoughts you're thinking. Today we have a mental health crisis. Why? Because the devil is roaring at so many people. So many people carry with them the burden of tomorrow, the burden of today, the burden of yesterday, the burden of problems, the burden of their home and their family life, the burden of their finances, and in your mind is a constant state of worry. But here's the amazing thing about God. He wants your worry. He wants it. The Bible says to cast our cares upon the Lord. What does it mean to cast? God says, hey, I care about what you care. I care about your worry. He says, cast it. Cast your cares upon the Lord. That word cast is so amazing because it's the Greek word epirapedo. I know I butchered that. Epirepto, that's what it means. Epirepto in the Greek. That word literally means, the word epi literally means to throw. Repero means upon. That word cast literally means to throw upon. Got it? Throw upon. That word is only found two times in the Bible, just two. One is here in 1 Peter, to throw upon. The second is when Jesus was walking into Jerusalem on the donkey during Palm Sunday. And the Bible says that the disciples got their cloaks and threw it upon the donkey. That word cast was in this is the idea that you had baggage on you. You had all these heavy loads you had to carry, but you had this strong, able animal that you can actually cast and throw all your baggage on. And that's whether it was a donkey or a horse or a camel. That animal was strong enough to subdue and really take upon itself all the heavy load that you carry. So when God says, cast your cares, he's literally telling you, I am fully capable and able to handle what you can't. So why not just throw it upon me? See, the disciples, they got their cloaks and they cast their cloaks on the donkey. They just let it go. They just let it go. Ironically, when Jesus was walking through Jerusalem, a lot of the people, the Bible says, they only spread their cloak. Well, what's the difference? One was the action of letting go. The other one was the action of just putting it there and bringing it back in. You know what a lot of us do? We pray about problems, but then we take it back. We say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, but then you worry about it again. Lord, I'm going to believe you for this, but then you take it back again. My question is, are you casting or simply spreading? Are you really letting it go in God's hands, or are you pretending to let it go only to take it back? When God says, cast your cares, He is literally saying, like that donkey, your horse or camel, you cannot handle this. It's too heavy for you. You and I were never designed to carry heavy burdens. You might have heavy burdens, but God never intended for you to carry them. So God says, cast. Cast your cares on Him. Why? How? Simple. 1, verse 7. Verse 7, cast all your cares, all of them, upon Him. For He what? Cares for you. It might look like He doesn't, it might feel like He doesn't, but the Bible says, I want to carry the load that weighs you down and has you depressed. I want to carry that thing that you can't handle anymore. That thing that has you tired and wanting to give up. God says, would you just give that to me? It makes no sense to hold on to it. Just give it to me. And trust me. Church, God cares about you. He cares about your cares. He cares about what worries you. He cares about your future. He cares about your health. He cares about you. And if you don't believe that, look to the cross and how He gave His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. He cares for you. That's why Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God has a mighty hand, but you'll never see that mighty hand at work until you humble yourself. You see, if the Bible says that casting your care means to let go and dump the heavy load on someone capable, the only reason you hold on to your worry is because of pride. Humility says, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Humility says, Lord, I can't change. Humility says, Lord, I need you. I'm not able to. Prideful people say, no, I got this. I can carry this. I can do this. I can make it. So when you really want to see freedom and peace in your life, you have to humble yourself under God and say, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. And some of us need to humble ourselves before God today and say, Lord, I can't. And you need to be still and just stop fighting it. And give it over to the Lord. You guys received this morning? He cares for you enough for He says, cast it to me. You have a choice. You can either humble yourself and keep fighting it, keep trying to do it on your own strength, or rely on the humility that you have, put yourself under God, trust in His mighty hand, and be still. Be still. One of the best ways to be still and to cast and let it go is Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what, church? By prayer. With supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here's the promise: when you pray, you cast. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, it's a peace that makes no sense. It's a peace that makes no sense because nothing in your life has changed. It's a peace that makes no sense because you're going through so much difficulty. It's a peace that makes no sense because what you're going through right now, it has not even changed. It is so difficult and nothing in your life says to have peace, but it's a peace that makes no sense. But it makes perfect sense because the peace does not come from you. The peace comes from who? From God. It says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard your heart, your emotions, and what? Your minds. Where does anxiety come from? Your minds. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Come on, give Him praises. You see, what's interesting is that up to today, I never realized with this verse, but a lot of times we think that prayer is where we pour out to God. How many believe that? And it is. But you realize that God says prayer is not just about you pouring out to me, but prayer is also where I pour into you. And God pours His peace into your heart and into your mind. So as you pray and pour out your worries to God, He literally pours into my heart and into my mind His peace. Some of you this morning, you need to just pray and cast and let things go into God's hands. Certain problems, certain situations you can't change, certain people you want to see change, whatever it is that has you worried, we need to trust that God is in control and entrust it, cast it, give it to Him and be still. Let's all stand up and pray today. Would you grab the hand of that person next to you today? Father, I thank You for this morning and I thank You for this time together. Father, You know in our hearts what we're going through. You know, Lord, the anxiety that we carry. So, Father, on this day, this Memorial Day weekend, we live in one of the greatest countries in the world, the greatest country in the world. But, Lord, we know that depression is on the rise and worry, stress. But Father, You say in Your word that You care for us. You say in Your word that You are in control. And when the devil wars and the devil brings fear into our lives, Father, I pray that we would just have the discipline to humble ourselves before You, to pray and let it go, and stop fighting and be still before You. So today I pray in the name of Jesus for your mind, for your heart, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard you this morning. That you will know that God cares for you, and whatever you're fighting or whoever you're fighting, leave it into the hands of Almighty God. Would you cast that to the Lord right now, whatever it is that's in your heart? What is it? Just say, Lord, I'm going to give this to You. And humble yourself this morning in prayer. And Father, I pray that You receive all these prayers and bless us this morning with Your peace. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name. God's church said, amen. Amen. Come on. God got some praise this morning.